I ask you this morning to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. If I had a title for the message this morning, it would be Seeking the Kingdom. Seeking the Kingdom. And I'm not so sure that I'm going to be doing a lot of preaching this morning. Don't get me wrong and say it's going to be short, because I've got a lot to say. But I feel that this probably be more in a teaching type mode, and I hesitate to say that, but that's the way that I have perceived it this week as I've tried to study this passage out and the passages that I'll include with the message this morning. When we think about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and I know that you all have heard this, but I'm getting us all at the right place to start the message today. But what do you think about when you think about the kingdom of heaven? Do you think it is something that we're going to enjoy when we get into heaven's glory? Well, we will enjoy it there. But did you notice the third verse of that, we're marching to Zion? It says the hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly field. And I'm not saying that song is Bible, but that's the truth of it. The kingdom of heaven is something here in this earth that we can enjoy as children of God. We can enjoy the blessings, and I'm going to refer to it, and you'll hear me throughout the message today referring to it as kingdom living. Kingdom living. The manner in which that we go about our daily, carrying out our daily activities, our daily lives, and seeing Christ interceding for us, but also working in and with us and through us as we go about our daily activities. When we think about this, Christ, yes, He's involved when we come together to worship like this, but He also is involved with us every single day, in every activity that we go about to do in life, in our work life, in our home life, in our recreational life. We should be able to see and understand that Christ is dealing with us and through us wherever that we are. And so therefore, As I sat this morning and tried to go through this again this morning one more time, I began to hear the birds singing. And I guess because that my mind was focused on what I wanted to say today, all of a sudden it dawned on me, they're singing glory to God. They're singing praises to Christ. They're singing praises. I know they're not redeemed, but they are God's creation. And being God's creation, God, I believe, has placed within them. They don't have the sin nature that you and I have to deal with. So everything that they are doing is proclaiming the glory of God. When you see the flowers blooming and earlier in the spring when the trees began to put their leaves out, if you look beyond what you can see with your eyes, you see the power and the glory of Christ showing Himself to us on many different levels throughout. And so with that, Luke chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. This is Luke's account of what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. He doesn't go into as much detail as Matthew does, where Matthew, I believe, gives the entire sermon in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Luke gives us a synopsis of what Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount. But these two verses are the verses that I really want to key on today. Luke chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. But that's a contrast, right? So here I go with my words. But that is a contrast of what he's been talking about. And what he's been talking about is anxiety. Does anybody have to deal with anxiety? Do you ever have anything in your life that brings that churning inside, that turmoil inside, that you don't know what to do, how to go about, how to settle it, how to get through it? And sometimes that becomes the focus of our lives. Sometimes we allow, I'm getting a message, I promise you. But Paul in another place said, let the peace of God rule in your heart and your mind. So this is something that you and I have to deal with. because we're in the flesh. We're in the natural mind. We have to deal with anxiety in life. But Jesus says there's a way to get through that. There's a way to deal with that. There's a way to get beyond that which would cause us anxiety in life. He says, but rather, instead of looking at the things that cause anxiety, seek ye the kingdom of God. Now, Matthew's account says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of these things that we worry about, all these things that we're anxious about, all of these things that we don't understand what the outcome is going to be. Certainly this is not original with me, but the Lord's already in the outcome of it. He's already there. And He's going to meet us there. He's going to lead us there. He's going to take us to that place one way or another. Even if we make little side trips, He's going to bring us back and bring us to that point. So Jesus says, this is what you're to seek after. This is what you're to look for. This is what you're to set your mind upon. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. It won't just fall into place. We hear that sometimes. Well, it's going to come into place. No, if it turns out right, it's because the Lord has put it in place, step by step by step and step. He says, seek ye the kingdom of God. Then He says, fear not, little flock. I love that. I've been reminiscing a lot this week and being nostalgic about family. And I remember there was a time in my life when I would hear my mama say it usually, this is my baby boy. And that just, I'd get red. I'd get angry. Because I thought of that as being something that I just didn't want to hear. But you know, I kind of like it now. I kind of like being the baby boy. When He says, fear not, little flock, that's his term of endearment for you. That's His term of endearment for His church, for His people. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before You. We thank You, Lord, that it is Your pleasure to give us the kingdom. And we thank You, Lord, that there is Your King that reigns in Your kingdom. And His name is Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Lord, our Master, our friend, our King. And Lord, as citizens of the kingdom, help us to seek the kingdom that You have given to us and to enter into that kingdom and there to be able to just honor You with our very beings. Bless us, Lord, to experience the things that You have for us in Your kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. It is Your Father's good pleasure, little flock, to give You the kingdom. Now He says, now seek it out. Seek the kingdom. That's something for us to do, isn't it? Okay, again, I want to break this down just as simply as I can. I don't mean to bore you with it, and I hope it's not a boring. I know it's not a boring, but I don't mean to just talk down. If there's a kingdom, and if there is a king, do we have to wait to enjoy that? If God is giving that to us, it is Your Father's good pleasure to give You the kingdom, are we going to have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy it? Well, there's some scripture that I think clears it up, in my mind anyway, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 21. And that's probably, I'm probably through with Luke 12 now. I'm going to a different place with what I want to say. But in Luke chapter 17 and verse 21, the Pharisees had said to Christ, show us when the kingdom of God is going to be. And kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are interchangeable. It's the same thing. In one account, it'll say the very same part will say the kingdom of heaven. Another writing will say kingdom of God. It's the very same thing. It's interchangeable. When will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus looked at them, because what they were wanting was, they were wanting to see a visible king sitting upon the throne in Jerusalem once again. They wanted the earthly kingdom restored back to them, where that they would be out from under the rule of the Romans. So when is this going to happen, they said. And Jesus looked at them and he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It's not something that you're going to see with your natural eyes. Though God uses the natural mind, and I didn't know this was going to be such a repetition. He uses the natural eyes and he uses the natural mind to bring it down into the very heart or the very core of our being to understand this. But it doesn't come just with observation. A lot of times we'll look at somebody and we'll see them prospering in their work. We'll see them being promoted and brought to a higher level. And we say, they sure are blessed. Well, what are we basing that blessing upon? Is it not something that we've seen with our eyes, or something that we've understood? And it might not always be a blessing. It might not always be a place where that they'll just really experience the blessings of God and being in that part. So he says it doesn't come with observation. It's not something you can see with your eyes and say, well, I see that, so therefore I know that that person is being blessed. I know that that person has just been in the very presence of the Lord to be where that he or she is. He says it doesn't come that way. But rather, he said, they won't even say, you go here or you go there and you'll find where the kingdom of heaven is. But rather, he says, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. And notice, again, sometimes I'm guilty of skipping over the little two-letter words. And I'm not an English major. You know that by now for sure with all some of the words I've said, made up. The kingdom of heaven is. What's the tense of that verb? It's present tense, right? The kingdom of heaven is within you. Meaning right now. They didn't realize it, but the king of the kingdom was standing. They were eye to eye with him. So he says it doesn't come with observation. In fact, Matthew, when he talked about Jesus coming, he said there's nothing about him that people would desire him. And here the Pharisees are looking at the king of the kingdom, and they say, when's the kingdom going to come? And as I read that, I'm thinking he's saying, it's right here, it's right now, it's right in me and right in you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So now we found that God's going to get, has given it to us. He has given it to us. Something we're to seek for. It's within us. So what is it? What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, Romans 14 and verse 17 tells us specifically. Remember in Luke 12, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had just told them, the life consists more of raiment and meat, more than clothing, food and clothing. You know, what are the three basic needs? Food, housing, and clothing. It's more than that. Life consists of more than that. So he says that the kingdom of heaven is within you, and what you're to seek for is found in Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what you hold in your hands. It's not what you possess. But rather, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness. Who is our righteousness? Jesus. It's peace. Who is our peace? Jesus. And it's joy. Who gives us joy? Jesus. So the kingdom of heaven has everything to do not with the material things of life, the spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's something that we are able to enjoy the blessings of. Paul described the peace that passes all understanding. Have you ever been in a situation when you felt like, I probably really should be worried about this. I really should be concerned about this. But there was just a peace that settled in over you. And sometimes it's almost like a warm blanket just coming in over you. Who gives you that peace? Can I tell you, it's the King of the Kingdom. is Jesus Christ. And when you experience that peace, there is a joy that comes along with it that you can't put it in words. So where is that peace? Where is that joy? Where's the righteousness? It's found in Christ. I know I'm belaboring this right now, but I'm getting to something in just a minute, if you'll bear with me. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul confirms, in Romans he told us what it is. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, he tells us where it is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. 1 Corinthians 6:19, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he asks the question, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? I hope it's coming together now that when Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within you, and Paul goes on to tell us that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And now he's saying the Holy Ghost is within you. So the kingdom of heaven has everything to do with how the Lord is working and dealing in our lives and how that we receive that in our lives on a daily basis. How that we go about dealing with those things, dealing with life through the King rather than through ourselves. Going about it in such a way that it is Jesus working in us, Jesus working through us, so that we're able to deal. And when those things that we know would normally bring anxiety, rather we have peace about us, if we just stop and look beyond what we would initially think, we can understand that that's the Holy Spirit in me, bringing back those words that Jesus has said. Jesus is the King. He has the ultimate rule. He has the last say. And what He says is the way that it is. He tells me I'm His. So therefore, excuse the earthly analogy, I'm in better hands with Jesus than I ever was with Allstate. I'm in good hands in Jesus. And when we can come to the understanding of that, that He's in control and He's leading us, however you want to take that word, He's leading us, He's directing us, maybe that's the better way to put it, and He's showing us, and He says, now seek it out. Seek it out. In the Old Testament, He says this way, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and try me and prove me. So, when He says, seek for those things, He's saying, try me. Just try me. Again, my mama said that to me a time or two also, and I didn't want to try her because I was trying her patience. But God says, try me. Try me and see. Seek it. Walk it. And see what happens. Now, for my text. I don't think that's the longest introduction I've ever had, but that was a pretty long one. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter's writing, this is his second letter, and he's writing to a group of people that are in a strange land. And the reason they're in a strange land is because they stood and they were faithful as much as they could be to what the Lord had called them to be. And as a result of that, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were intent on putting them to death, getting rid of them. So God, and I believe this is a sense where He did lead them, took them from Jerusalem and brought them into a strange land. Into a land that they didn't know anybody. In a land where they didn't know the customs. They didn't know the language. They didn't know anything about it. But all of a sudden, here they are. Did God just put them there and forget about them? Or was the King of the kingdom still with them there? And yes, He was. Jesus was there with them by the Holy Spirit. So now they're in this place. And this is the second letter that Paul is writing. And I'm going to first go to verses 10 and 11. Because again, this is the foundation for what I want to say. Verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, first I want to talk about what that is not saying, okay? Peter is not saying you got to do something just to make sure that this is enacted. When we get a new bank card, when you get a new bank card, what do you have to do? There's something you have to do to that card to enact it. You call that number and they say, okay, now you can use it. If you don't call that number, you can't use it. So it's not saying that if you don't call that number, your election is not sure. But what he's saying there is, for us, we are to that word sure, let me just read what it means, if I can find it here in my mind. It means to be on a sound basis, on a sure foundation, to from that foundation to be able to go forward with a force. Go forward with the force because you're on that foundation. Again, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. It's sure as far as God is concerned. Your election and your calling is sure and steadfast, and nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. It's sure. So Peter is saying now, make that in your mind and your heart to understand that you come to that place of understanding that you belong to Christ. Whether you're in a strange land, whether you're around people that are different from you, whether their customs are different, they talk different, whatever it may be, you are God's. You belong to Him, and nothing is going to change that. And so Peter is saying, I want you to have that in your mind. But listen, that's part of the kingdom of heaven, is understanding that righteousness that is ours in Christ Jesus, that is ours. He says, now make it sure, make it steadfast within you. Come to that settling point in your life. Do you ever have thoughts of wondering, am I really the Lord's? If you've never had that thought, you are blessed. Peter says, put that out of your mind, because you belong to Jesus. You're His. Make it sure and steadfast. Make it sound in your mind that you belong to Christ. You can't seek it if it's not already given to you. And Jesus said, it's God's good pleasure to give it to you. So it belongs to you now because of God's grace. Make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to come back to that everlasting. But right now I want to talk about entering the kingdom. Entering the kingdom. Let's go back to verse 1 now. What does it take to enter the kingdom of heaven? It's not with sight. It's not with observation of the mind. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. There's the basis. And faith is God-given. I'm going to tell you something, and I hope that I can show this. But without faith, you cannot experience the kingdom of heaven. Without faith, you cannot experience it. I'm not saying that it negates what it is, but you cannot experience it. Are you always walking in peace and joy? Do you have anxiety sometimes? Do you have worries? Do you have cares? Can I tell you, when I'm walking in anxiety, I'm not walking by faith. And so therefore, I don't have the peace and I don't have the joy. But if I'm walking by faith, trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ to be my righteousness, and trusting that He's my Lord, He's my Savior, He's my guide, He's my comforter, He's my everything. By faith, then I can go from that to proceed on to what Peter's going to tell these folks and what he's telling us today, what he's telling me today. We have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and in Jesus our Lord. And verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His divine power has given us all things pertaining to life. What kind of life is he talking about? It's the spiritual life. He has given to us spiritual life in Christ Jesus. I know I'm getting bogged down with this, but bear with me, please. Do you think that it's possible that sometimes we become complacent with that first part? I belong to the Lord, so therefore everything's okay. I belong to the Lord. And there is a sense in which that's true. But sometimes I'm afraid that I become complacent with just stopping at that point of saying, God has given me life in Christ Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. I truly am thankful for that. But he didn't stop with life. He says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life and godliness. Life is what Christ has put within us. Godliness is how that we show that life. Remember I said that making your election and calling sure was to have that place where that you can go forward with force to show what Christ has done in your life. Godliness is having a mindset that what I say and what I do, I want it to glorify my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. I'm switching gears here maybe, in that sometimes I think that the kingdom of heaven is just simply for me. It's just for my benefit. It's just so that I can have peace. It's just so that I can have joy. But here Peter is saying something. He's saying it's not just for what you receive, but the kingdom of heaven is also to be that which we go forward with force, showing others what Christ has done for us. Showing them to have a mindset that what I say, what I think, what I do is toward Christ. I personally do not think that we can be enjoying the true blessings of the kingdom of heaven if it's just coming one way. At the end of Hebrews, he says, let brotherly love continue. Let it flow in and let it flow out. Make your election and calling sure. Yes, he loves me. But is that all that it matters to me? Is that Jesus loves me? Or am I to let that love flow in and flow out toward others? Am I to use that love? Am I to use the blessings of the kingdom that I might be able to show others? Because I'm going to tell you, you know it, that this world is filled with people that are searching and longing and needing peace that we have. And they're looking for that joy that we have. And so if that kingdom is flowing into me and the blessings of the kingdom, then I should be using that kingdom life, that kingdom living, to show others what Christ has done, is doing, and going to do. So the mindset has to be not only that I have life, but my life shows the godliness that Christ has placed within me. The writer of Psalms put it this way, my heart is fixed, O God, and I'll sing praises and glorify your name. My heart is fixed. There's a whole different message in that. There's three different ways to look at fixed. But what he's saying is, it's set. My heart is set. If I'm seeking the kingdom and my heart's not set on finding it, if I'm wavering back and forth, I may enjoy a little bit of the blessings, but to truly enter into what God has prepared for us, it requires that my mindset is such. We sing the song, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me. Now, my Savior, I come to thee. I'm looking for that. I'm longing for that. I'm needing that. I have life, yes. But I want everything that life has to offer. I want everything that God has to offer. And that includes not only using it for myself and my well-being, but that godliness would come forth from me that others could see. that others could see. Have you ever been around somebody that you only met them, or maybe you just passed by them, or maybe the cashier at the checkout, whatever, and they say something, I know you love the Lord, or something about you that you just show that you're walking with God. That's godliness. That's showing what Christ has done for us. And so he says, he's given to us everything that pertains to that. He's given us everything that pertains to life. There's nothing that you and I have to do in order to receive the life that is ours in Christ Jesus. It's by his grace and by his grace alone. But to show godliness, that's something we must do. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. We must show that godliness that is ours because of his grace and his mercy. He's equipped us with that. So now how can we do that? How can we do that? He goes on to say, let me just get to the rest of this. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. If you sit down and there's a table of delicious food in front of you, are you partakers just by sitting there? Or are you partakers by digging in and putting it on your plate and eating it and enjoying every bite of it? That's when we're partakers, when we're actually taking it in and gaining the benefit from it. So he says, I've given you life. I've given you everything that pertains to godliness. Now you're to be a partaker of it. This is something that God is commanding us to do, to be partakers of the divine nature. How? By showing godliness. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I wish that we could say that we've escaped that completely, but we haven't. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, he's going to list some things here. And when I see these things, I think about when... I know I'm bouncing, so please, if you can, bear with me and stay with me. But when Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? They gave their answer. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. And he looked at him and said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, or blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But where I'm coming to is this next verse. And he says, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Peter, I believe, is now going to share with us the keys to the kingdom. And it's various unlocking stages. Have you seen the thing where you unlock a box and you open it up and there's another box? You unlock that box. It's not that. So we're seeking the kingdom now, right? We're seeking it. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not something that we can just demand and barge our way into. I know. Please forgive me. My mind is just going everywhere. But I'm thinking about right now... the lady in the Old Testament, whose her uncle said, go in, my mind, somebody tell me who I'm talking about. Esther, thank you. Queen Esther. Before she could go barging into the king, her husband, she had to prepare herself. She couldn't just go walking in there and say, hey, king, I'm here. And sometimes I'm afraid that I have that thought. I'm just going to go in and say, hey, Jesus, I'm here. What do you have for me today? There are keys that we must use to enter into that to experience the fullness of the blessings of it. What she had to do once she entered the room, she had to touch the top of his scepter, which indicated she was saying to him, you are the righteous king, as far as the earthly bound. I am submitting myself to you. So when we enter into this place, the first thing that we must do in order to experience the blessings of the kingdom is to acknowledge that Jesus is King. And it's not just a matter of saying, I'm here, what are you going to do for me now? But we to come to that place. So Peter says, here's what you do. You've been given faith. Now add to that faith virtue. I gotta look up the meaning. I've heard virtue all my life. A virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. That's a virtuous person. What does it mean, virtue? Add to your faith virtue. It means that I'm to have a desire to go higher, to be lifted up above the plane where that I am. We sing that song, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to be better than I am. I want today to be better than yesterday, and I want tomorrow to be better today. That's virtue, to want to be lifted up, to want to do better than we were before. So Peter says, you've been given faith. Now add to that faith a desire to do better. What do I want to do if I experience the blessings of the kingdom? What do I want to do with them? Do I just want to sit back and say, now I've got them? Or do I want those blessings to be used that I can be of more help, of greater service, of being able to reach out and use those things to help others? You see, the kingdom is not just receiving. The kingdom is receiving and giving. Jesus Himself said it's better to give than to receive. So we receive the blessing of faith. What do I do with it? I want to be lifted higher. I want that faith to take me to a higher plane, to a higher level, to a better level, a better standard of living than I have before. So He says, you add to your faith virtue. And then you add to that virtue, that desire to be better, you add to that virtue, you add knowledge. He closes that letter by saying, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, how can I be better? Well, the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I seek the kingdom, I'm looking for the kingdom, I'm looking for those blessings, but it's not here, it's not there, it's within me. Who lives within me? The Holy Spirit. Who does the Holy Spirit speak to me about? He speaks to me about Jesus. So, if I want to know how to live a better life today than I did yesterday, I need to be growing in my knowledge about Jesus. What was the little bracelet that was popular several years ago? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I think the better question is, what would Jesus have me to do? How can I learn from Him and apply that in my life? How can I take that kingdom living and apply it where that others are blessed as I'm blessed? Well, you grow in knowledge. You grow in knowledge. And then he says, and then to knowledge, you add temperance. Now, temperance, that's just an inner strength. That's within. Knowing Christ is within you. Why is it important that I have temperance? Why is it important that I have that inner strength within? Because it's happened to me, and I'm sure it probably happened to maybe all of y'all. I know other people it's happened to, that you want to take that newfound knowledge and you just want to go save the world. You want to go just make a difference in everybody's life. And the next thing you know is you hear them saying, you're not in my head. You don't know what's going on in my life. And what happens? We get discouraged. So what we have to do, that inner temperance, is saying, wait upon the Lord. As He reveals Himself to you, take what He reveals to you. If all that He has revealed to me is that Jesus loves me, then that's what I have to share with somebody else. When Peter started that first letter to those strangers, the first thing that he said to them was, God loves you. You know, sometimes that's all we need to hear. And sometimes that's the key that opens up that kingdom to us. God loves me. And that gives me peace. And that gives me joy. So he says, you take that faith, and you add that desire to go higher, and in order to go higher, you use that knowledge that will take you higher, and then to that knowledge, you add that strength of saying, okay, I'm going to take what Jesus gives me today, and I'm going to use today what He gave me today. And then he says, to temperance, you add patience. I'm not there yet. That's the one that stumps me every time. Patient. Wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And the old song says, teach me, Lord, to wait. And that's a hard lesson to learn. So you add to that inner strength the patience to wait for God to open that door for you to be able to share what He has given to you. You can't go barging through. And then to patience, you add godliness. Wait a minute, I thought I already added godliness. I thought that was the first or second thing that He said. Tells me there's times I have to stop and reset the mind. There's times I have to stop and realize I've taken a wrong turn. Maybe I thought I was doing it for the right reason, but I've gone the wrong way. So now I have to come back and reset the mind again. This is about the Lord. It's not about Steve. This is about what the Lord has done for me and what the Lord will do for others. It's not about what I've done for Him, which is nothing, or what I can do for others, which is nothing. So I've got to reset my mind again. Come back to focusing on Jesus. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. And that's having a connection. Isn't it wonderful when we're together? It is for me. It's wonderful as I look out and see you. And I can see the love on your face. I can see the desire on your face. I can see the longing inside of you that you want to grow in the Lord. And I need to grow in the Lord. And my being with you helps me grow. And hopefully I'm imparting something at some point. But brotherly kindness is that bond, that connection that you and I need. Yes, here, but we need it out there also. So therefore, as Peter is writing these, he says, seek out those that you have a bond with. Seek those that you have a common connection, that they also are seeking the Lord. Paul would say, be not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. But seek out those that desire. I'm going to stop right now for our young people. Seek out those that would desire to serve the Lord with you, not to pull you away from the Lord. And for us older ones also, that we seek out those that will strengthen us and we can strengthen them in our daily walk. Brotherly kindness. And with brotherly kindness, we add charity. And that word charity, we know the definition, love in action. But I found it goes deeper than that. It's goodwill. And I say, isn't that the same thing? The deeper you go into that and look at that, it means unconditional love. Unconditional love. Not, I'll love you if you'll love me, or this, that, or the other. It's unconditional. Giving love. Giving love. And isn't that righteousness? I'm going to tell you, it is. Remember when Jesus was born? I'm bringing it to a close, I promise you. I hope the Lord will fill in the blanks. But when Jesus was born, the shepherds were on the hillside, and the angels began to sing, the heavenly host began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus came unconditionally. Jesus died unconditionally. And Peter is saying to them, God loves you. He said that in the first letter. And he's saying it again now, reminding them, God loves you unconditionally. And in order to truly walk in this walk of kingdom living, we must come to that point of understanding. Do I deserve it? No. Did God wait for me to deserve it? No. while I was His enemy, Christ died for me. My King did not require me to die for Him. He died for me. Righteousness. He died for me. Peace. It was for me. Joy. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Give me just two more minutes. Because it says an everlasting kingdom. And that's what stumps a lot of people about this. An everlasting kingdom. They think it's got to be, it must be in heaven. If it's an everlasting kingdom, it's got to be, we got to get there before we'll enjoy it. It's everlasting. Oh, wait a minute. Everlasting. What does everlasting mean? Well, in Psalm 90, it says, from everlasting to everlasting, you're God. So it's an everlasting kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, which means He always has loved me. He always will love me. So that kind of shoots it. Excuse my language. Just kind of shoots it to say that that's got to wait to heaven just to see it. That would be saying that what Jesus said is within me. Did He know what He's talking about? Well, He's the King. He should. Paul says it's in the Holy Ghost. And he says, the Holy Ghost is in me. So that tells me that that everlasting kingdom, it's right here, right now. And we can enjoy the blessings of it right now. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the blessings of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But it does require those keys. It does require that we walk in His conditions. We're saved eternally, unconditionally. But saved to the kingdom, there's conditions for that. I got to stop or I'll be here till 6 o'clock and then we'll go to our discussion. This will be continued, Lord willing, in some form or fashion. I'm just going to give you a little bit of homework assignment. Think about the word saved. Because the Lord's put it on my heart, and Lord willing, for the next however long, we're going to look at that word saved and see what it means. See what it means, how it applies to us. And it just might be a little bit different than what we've heard concerning that word saved. Anyway.